You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hey, that's what we do. This is your country folk out here in North Dakota, James Kelso, your host on the Trump phenomenon. This is July 5th, day after the 4th of July. Hope you had a great 4th of July, and we'll talk a little bit about that 4th. As part of today's show, we're on the air for 1 hour, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We skip Saturday, then come back Sunday for 2 hours of revelry from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And call in with your observations. Most of you, I'm sure, watched the Salute to America yesterday on the Washington Mall. Man, that was beautiful. Woo-wee. Looked like it was raining a little bit on the crowd, but it didn't look bad. But, you know, that appearances can be deceptive in that area. I don't know what it was like, but it didn't. Boy, what a crowd. You could see them going all the way down the reflecting pool, all the way to the Washington Monument. And I don't know if there was crowd even beyond the Washington Monument, but that was one big crowd hastily put together in inclement weather. Very, very impressive. Donald Trump confounded. Let's give the executive summary here. The media demon rats spent days trying to badmouth the president and his 4th of July celebration. And the president made them all look like monkeys. Yes, monkeys. Because he gave just a beautiful tribute to American history, to our heritage, to our ancestors, to the courage of our forebears. Oh, it was wonderful. He went through the history itself, people like Thomas Alva Edison, John Glenn. But then he mentioned Betsy Ross. That was a nice touch. After Nike canceled an entire line of shoes. Now, you can imagine, how many pairs of Nike Betsy Ross flag shoes do you think had already been, before you do a promotion on something like that, that's set for a certain day, you've got them all manufactured and in the box. Not only in the box, you've got them all shipped and delivered to all of your Nike outlets. So there must have been, how many shoes do you think? A couple million pairs of those Nike shoes? How much did that cost Nike? And they ditched them all. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut, they all got returned to Nike, ground up so that they wouldn't be seen. So a couple million pairs cost to the company at least $10 a pair, maybe more. What were those going to retail for? Anyway, $50 million, some tidy chunk of change. Why? Because what is this guy's name? What is this idiot who used to play football? K. Kaepernick. What's his first name? I can't remember his first name. Kaepernick. Ugly dude. Questionable talent, even on the football field. But a mental and moral midget. He said he didn't like the Betsy Ross flag because that was racist. What? The Betsy Ross flag was featured prominently at Barack Obama's inauguration. Uh-oh. Anyway, Nike paid millions of dollars to this guy Kaepernick. Trashed their own shoes. Donald Trump mentioned Betsy Ross prominently in his address, which was a very nice touch. My favorite line, there were a lot of favorites, but I like, there's one that really got a smile from the president. And I think he was thinking of himself when he quoted it. It's a quote from The Battle of the Bulge from Bastogne, and it's not known who said it. Somebody said it. It was a medic. He was asked about the status, this military situation. Apparently there's something like 12,000 brave Americans at Bastogne with George Patton rushing his army to their relief. Anyways, this medic was asked about the situation, and he said of the Germans, said of the Nazis, they've got us surrounded, the poor bastards. And Donald Trump, that got a big smile from Donald Trump, because indeed they've got him surrounded, the poor bastards. And that there's another military quote. Maybe one of you out there is more a more astute military historian can tell me where this came from. There's a quote where somebody said, something, the gist of the quote was, we're totally surrounded. We've got them just where we want them. Something like that. And then there's another quote, and I do know the source of this. It's Nathan Bedford Forrest, who said, he was asked for the order from his one of his lieutenants, and the his order was, let me remember, charge. And then a pause, in every direction. Oh my goodness. Anyway, the president was saluting the incredible armed services of the United States, and it was wonderful. And as I said, he made monkeys out of the media because he actually didn't say, he doesn't need to say anything political. He just gave a magnificent patriotic speech, historical. And that's all he needed to do. It was a very wise choice. He has been showing such incredible good judgment, such wisdom, as he matures in the presidency. And this was one instance of that. He was just outstanding. And then, as he choreographed it, beautifully done, you know that he drew the whole thing up himself. As he went through each branch of America's Armed Services, there was a flyby, a flyover by some incredible unit of that branch. Fantastic Ospreys flying for the Marines, and the future Marine One helicopter, probably one of the most beautiful helicopters ever built. Then a salute from the band with the hymn of the U.S. United States Marines. Wow. Probably not a dry eye in the house. No pun intended with the rain. Then he had Well, let me just go to the highlight. Oh, the highlight at the end was the Blue Angels. Oh, my gosh. Six of them. Not just wingtip to wingtip. Wing over and under wing. Not wingtip to wingtip. So close. Oh. The closest flying anybody does. And the most precise. The best pilots in the world. The Blue Angels. And then they did some incredible maneuvers. They shot over the crowd and they circled back, came back, did another maneuver. One maneuver that was really nice is when all six of them came in and then they just, spread out. The widest on the wings just took really sharp turns. Shoo! And then the middle just screamed right through the middle. Oh, it was beautiful. Then they did a smoke maneuver where they did smoke over the crowd. It was just beautiful. What were some of the other things? Oh, Air Force One did a low and loud flyover. What else did we see? Coast Guard craft. We saw Army helicopters. Ooh, they were nice looking. We saw... Oh, F-22s flanking a B-2 bomber, stealth bomber, flying wing. Oh, wow. Nice. Anyway, it was a heck of a thing. And then a great fireworks show at the end. Crowd was wonderful. Part of the success to the event was what didn't happen. No disruption of any kind. The Capitol Police are pretty extraordinary folks. They're not losers like the police in Oregon and other places who just sit on their hands eating donuts while Antifa beats up patriotic American citizens. And when I say beats up, I want to specify sucker punches. They don't beat anybody up in a clean fight. They don't have clean fights. They come from behind with concealed things like bicycle locks, which is basically a nunchuck on steroids, or a piece of pipe from behind or the side. Total cowards. It's not fair to call it fighting. Not accurate. It's cowardly. Anyway, but the police in some cities just let that occur. Well, the Capitol Police are different. They don't do that. It's a better police force. And so there were no incidents that I know of, no disruption to this wonderful, wonderful event. Meanwhile, all the demon rats were hiding in Iowa as their ratings plummet, as their media, the media branch of the Socialist Party, the demon rats, the Socialist Party, the media branch is watching its numbers plummet. The clowns running for their nomination, they're watching their numbers plummet. And, well, again, I'm taking a... I'd like to hear who you, when you call in, let us know who you think, who you would like to see against Donald Trump. We had a vote for Kamala Harris from Texas. Was it Ken in Fort Worth? Pardon me if I forget names and cities. I like that nomination. That's actually my own nomination. Kamala Harris is my favorite or an opponent for Donald Trump. But it's hard to pick among them. Let's see. Let me go look at my caller board here right now, in fact. 800-313-9443. Oh, we got Ken in New York and George in Texas on the line. Ken, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. I wouldn't be all that concerned about Nike because when you consider where they get their sneakers from, even at their original retail price, forget the issue about scalping. They would pay, what, maybe $1 or $2 for a pair of sneakers, and the retail price would be $200+. And I've heard crazy stories about sneakers that were going for $25,000 a pair. Of course, I have no idea whether they're true or not, but I, at least as far as the company goes, it's no big deal for them.
Yeah, you know, Ken, I didn't think of that. You're right. You're absolutely right. They're getting them from slave labor in China, so they're essentially almost no cost.
Or Indonesia. I think that's where, in those areas, I think that's where most of these sneakers come from.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, Ken. By the way, let me ask you, if you could pick, this is sort of a humorous question here. This is really not serious. Just from a humorous point of view, who would you like to see in the ring against Donald Trump in the final election?
I'm not sure. I think what's going to happen is what Mike Rivero is talking about. I think that one by one, all of these contenders are going to be trashed, and then all of a sudden Hillary's going to come out and say, oh, I'm going to save you. All of these people are...
Oh!
You know, they'll find a way. I didn't believe it at first, but I'm starting to believe it now.
Now, this is Ken. This is really interesting. So, and is Michael Rivero really... He's saying this very clearly?
Yes. He's been saying this for the last 6 or 8 months, as far as I'm concerned, that I can tell. He's been saying that he doesn't think no matter what happens, Hillary is going to come in and become the savior for the Democratic Party.
I love it. And now Michael Rivero is an incredible political prophet. He has been right so many times. I like his argument, and that's a very interesting, and I would love to see that eventuality, that if Hillary were to come in, that would be really dramatic. Now let's consider, so hats off to Mike Rivero on that one. But let me ask you this now. Let's suppose that Hillary doesn't come in. Of the remaining losers that are, which one would give you the biggest laughter watching the debates?
Well, probably Buttigieg, but I can only say that's from the laugh value. I honestly can't say who, but he, I think, you know, Uncle Joe is going to get trashed. I think I can see this happening, that they're all going to get trashed one by one, and then Hillary's going to come in and say, or appear to be the savior.
Well, any way you slice it, I like it, Ken. Any other thoughts for our audience there today?
Be perfectly honest with you, that's the only thing that I have to offer. And I didn't believe it at first, but I'm starting to believe it now. And that's all I can say.
Well, nice.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, thank you. To a fellow New Yorker, did you know, Ken, I was born in Manhattan?
Well, I've been born in Long Island. I've been living in Eastern Long Island. I'm about 65-70 miles out. And John said something last week, John Stadtmiller, he said something about somebody heading an invasion of New York from Texas. And I didn't have the opportunity to tell him this, but I said that if you need a volunteer for Fifth Column, I would be perfectly willing.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you. You know, I'll tell you what, Donald Trump has really raised the star, so to speak, of New York, being the man who really is saving our country, born in Queens. We'll be right back, folks. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John. Big
John. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Big John, Big John. Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John.
Big Bad John,
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Hey, we're back, folks. Big John. Wow, I'll tell you what. I was just watching here with the president. Let me pause it. The president was watching, representing the Air Force, the two F-22s out of Langley and a stealth B-2 bomber. Wow. And that's what he said. You could read his lips. You couldn't hear him, but you could see his lips as he looked straight up as they went right over his head. He just said, wow. And really, wow is all you could say. That huge B-2 bomber flanked by the F-22s. Wow, that's really something. And, you know, probably they fly that way. That is, a B-2 probably is sometimes flanked by F-22s and utterly stealthy. And the president made an interesting point. I did not know this. Did you? In 65 years, how many U.S. airmen have been killed by enemy air forces in 65 years, the last 65, since 1964, I take it to be? Zero. Zero. Wow. That is air supremacy, folks. Let's see. We've got some callers here. We've got George in Texas and Fred in Iowa. We'll get to both of you. George, I hope you got a chance to enjoy the 4th of July from Washington. Did you get a chance to see it?
Yes. And, you know, the thing, they said Antifa is going to come out there and harm Trump supporters. Well, guess what? It was raining yesterday, so I don't think they bothered to show up. But the Trump supporters are out there braving the elements.
So. Well, yeah, that's true. They got that all that dye in their hair. They're not even afraid it would run on their makeup. The I saw. There were, you know, and this is an aspect. These people are cowards. They're pathetic, and this is true at Trump events. They're afraid to show up, and they're also ashamed and embarrassed to show up because they. Their numbers are puny, and the Trump supporters are a massive sea. That sea of people that extended back from the Lincoln Memorial down the reflecting pool all the way to the Washington Monument. Folks, this is a big crowd. And, you know, they were there. It was a Trump rally. You know, the media was right about only one thing. That celebration, it was, of course, 4th of July, Independence Day celebration. But was it also a Trump rally? Yeah, it was. It was a Trump rally because it's the same thing. Celebrating America and celebrating the man who's saving America, it's the same thing.
You know, you talk about who you like the president run against. I like Mayor de Blasio to run against Trump because this guy is arrogant. He's delusional. And Trump would be like a hot knife through soft butter with him.
Yeah, that one would really be unfair. That one would be good. What would be another one that you would really enjoy that would really get you hooting and hollering?
Buttigieg.
You like that one? Okay. The reason I'll tell you why I like Kamala Harris. There's something arrogant about her. I think of all the candidates, if I could think of who is the most arrogant of all of them. And, you know, that's something I really like seeing someone like Trump take down an arrogant person. And I don't know if anybody can top Kamala Harris for arrogance. She is I know Tucker Carlson, one of the things he says, his show is crafted to take on smugness or smug something or other. And boy, is she smug. If I had to give a picture illustration of smug in a dictionary, I'd put a picture of Kamala Harris in there.
But you want another thing, and I really think the president's going to have to do a shot across the bow because, you know, what AOC's remarks are about the Border Patrol and all that stuff, that's sedition. That's inciting violence. She's trying to incite violence. And I really think some of these, especially breaking campaign finance laws, even not Ilhan Omar, I really think, you know, because right now Congress is not in session. They can be arrested. They cannot be arrested when Congress is in session.
In another era, you're right, George, they would be. Rightfully so. Thanks for calling, George. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Over, it will be a better day. When this war is over, it will be a better day. But it won't bring back those poor boys in the grave. Ain't no sense in the action.
Let's go to Fred in Iowa. Fred, are you there?
Yeah, howdy.
Howdy.
I'm going to make a prediction. Go out okay. on a limb, but I'm not too worried about it. Trump will be elected for a second term. One of his greatest assets is the Democratic Party.
Yes.
We'll put him. The reason being is the, my God, I had it written down here, the dialectic, the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. were being played. Now, this is July the 5th, and I say, right in Iowa, that Trump, I think, pretty strongly, will win a second nomination, second term.
Yes, now let me ask you, Fred, you're right there in Iowa. Have you, I don't know what part of Iowa you're in, but are local Iowans, are they talking about all these Democrat socialists that are traipsing all over your state?
I don't know, because I don't talk to a lot of people, just in this small little burg where I live, and I haven't been to any of the meetings in the big cities, although in the election of Obama, I asked him questions, and I stood 2 feet side by side Joe Biden, and if looks could kill, man, I'd be a dead man. But when I was talking, asking questions of Obama when he was first running for president, there were people, I guess, bodyguards or whatever, the way they looked at me, I was a dead man. But I believe strongly, this is the July the 5th, that Trump will win a second election, and that's because of the Democratic Party going to put him in there.
Yes, I agree. I agree, Fred. I agree.
I think Trump
wins on his own. I think he wins on his own merits, even against a capable and crafty opponent. But the demon rats are not, they have not found a capable or a crafty opponent. So I think Donald Trump is going to have a real, it's really going to be fun watching him take apart whoever the demon rats put forward. And of course, extra fun right now is watching them, because they're all so egotistical. They're all in it for themselves. So they're now tearing each other's eyes out. And I think that's really fun to watch.
Well, I don't think that, and I don't believe that. It's the beginning that I elected. And,
well, now, hey, your phone, the Hegelian dialectic just took your phone apart, Fred. So let's go, we'll go back to the show here. And if you want to call in, folks, watch out for that Hegelian dialectic. And I think it was a Hegelian dialectic that actually got Fred's phone. And we can go on the air at 800-313-9443. It's interesting what happens to some of these phones from some of these people who are a little bit more out in the country. Really interesting phenomena occur to their phones. Really bizarre. Let's play a little bit from the president yesterday. This is he was so darn good. Here he is. He's about half an hour into his address to the Patriots. Let's see here. I'll go to this point in his address, about half an hour in, and he's got all these great bombers and helicopters and jets flying overhead, and he's introducing them. Beautiful timing. We just had, now I mentioned, he said he went wow when the B-2 and the F-22 Raptors went over. Here's that. I'll resume right there. Here we go.
What a great country. In October of 1775, the Continental Congress ordered the construction of 2 swift sailing vessels, each carrying 10 cannons and 80 men, to sail eastward. Our young fleet tested their sea legs against the most powerful navy the world has ever seen. John Paul Jones, America's first great naval hero, said, "I wish to have no connection with any ship that does not sail fast, for I intend to go in harm's way." He got his wish many times when his ship was shot into pieces off the coast of England by a British vessel and her 4 dozen guns. When demanded to surrender, Jones very famously declared, "I have not yet begun to fight."
Now, as you hear the president speaking John Paul Jones's words, hey, that's the president speaking. He has not yet begun to fight. And all of these folks that he's quoting, all these military heroes and great patriots, those words are his. Now, he is living those words. For instance, the medic who said, "They've got us surrounded, the Germans, the poor bastards." That's Donald Trump talking, not about Germans, of course, but about the left. After all, he is a German, half 50%.
When our Navy begins fighting, they finish the job. The War of 1812, Captain James Lawrence fell with his brothers on the USS Chesapeake. His dying command gained immortality. Don't give up the ship.
Okay, that's Donald Trump again. This is his speech. You know, he's picking these quotes. These are his favorite quotes. Don't give up the ship. How does that apply today? Donald Trump is saying that to all of you as patriots. Don't give up the ship. Keep fighting. Stay with it. Stay on the Trump train. Don't give up the ship.
In the Battle of Mobile Bay, Admiral David Farragut lashed himself to the rigging of his flagship to see beyond the cannon smoke, crying, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead."
Okay, that's Donald Trump again. "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." And notice he refers to these quotes that have a little bit more colorful, a little bit more emotional language in them. That's the language Donald Trump so effectively uses with us, his people.
In World War II, it was aviators launched from the carrier Enterprise, Hornet, Yorktown, who filled the skies of Midway and turned the tide of the Pacific War. Nobody could beat us. Nobody could come close. On D-Day, CB engineers came ashore to destroy blockades and barriers, making way for the invasion. Many lost their lives, but they took the German defenses with them, and our men crushed upon the beaches like a mighty storm. From the naval demolition units of World War II arose a force that became famous in the Mekong Delta. They don't want to see our force again. The very best of the very best, the Navy SEALs. It was the SEALs who delivered vengeance on the terrorists who planned the September 11th attack on our homeland.
Let me skip forward here. I'm not going to find the quote I want, which is the one on the medic saying, "They've got us surrounded, the poor bastards." But if you want to call in, I do want to hear some more nominations for who would be the best to oppose this man in national debates. You know, how about it? Half a dozen debates, let's say, with Donald Trump. Good, clean, fun. Let's go a little later in his speech. I'm just dropping in the cursor.
The Continental Army suffered a bitter winter of Valley Forge, found glory across the waters of the Delaware, and seized victory from Cornwallis of Yorktown. Our army manned the airport. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do. And at Fort McHenry, under the rocket's red glare, it had nothing but victory. And when dawn came, their star-spangled banner waved defiant.
Now, he's leading in beautifully. Shiloh,
Antietam, and Gettysburg, our soldiers gave the last full measure of devotion for the true unity of our nation and the freedom of all Americans. In the trenches of World War I, an Army sergeant named Alvin York faced an inferno of enemy fire and refused to retreat. He said, "I won't leave. I won't stop." He shot his rifle 18 times, killing 18 of the enemy. When they fixed bayonets and charged, he killed 7 more. The entire German machine gun battalion surrendered because of one man.
I've forgotten all the detail of that story. Alvin York. What? Can you believe it? The kind of soldiers that we've produced. 18 shots, 18 kills. He must have been a country boy. You know, there's a, what were they saying? Annie Oakley. Annie Oakley was a dead shot. And one of the reasons she was a dead shot with her Winchester 22. She had to get, she would kill squirrels and rabbits and deer. And she had to get a headshot on everything. And she had to not hurt the meat because her family depended on her and little Annie Oakley for something to eat on the table. She was only going to get one shot and she had to make it count. And she's famous. If you can, you know, this is astounding. It's very well documented. But here's what she could do. I forget the distance, but she could have someone drop playing cards in the air. And she could cut a playing card in half with her Winchester. So I think it was a lever action on her Winchester. She could cut them in half, but as Paul Harvey says, that's only half the story. The rest of the story, she was cutting those cards in half edgewise. She wasn't the card, she was looking at the edge of the card and cut it in half. Folks, that's a target smaller than the bullet itself. Smaller than the diameter of the bullet. That's the kind of shots that our country has produced. You're going to hear a little bit of roar. You might hear a little bit of roaring in the background. There's a raceway not too far from me where it's really a neat dirt track. A small oval, man, it gets loud. And these guys in these dirt track cars, it's really something. If you go to that race without a headset or earplugs, you're going to come out of there deaf. Anyway, you might hear a little of that. I got my window open. I just painted this room before the show. Let's go back to let's drop in the cursor here in another spot in the president's speech yesterday. Let's go forward here. Here he is. I think that might have, you know. These are Army gunships, helicopter gunships, loaded with rocket pods. My kids had a blast during this parade, listening to the anthems of all the services because they know them. Yeah, they've learned them, and so they're singing along. That was really fun. Oh,
150 years ago, a volunteer army of farmers and shopkeepers, blacksmiths, merchants, and militiamen risked life and limb to secure American liberty and self-government. This evening, we have witnessed the noble might of the warriors who continue that legacy. They guard our birthright with vigilance and fierce devotion to the flag and to our great country. Now we must go forward as a nation with that same unity of purpose. As long as we stay true to our cause, as long as we remember our great history, as long as we never, ever stop fighting for a better future, then there will be nothing that America cannot do. Thank you. We will always be the people who defeated a tyrant, crossed a continent, harnessed science, took to the skies, and soared into the heavens, because we will never forget that we are Americans and the future belongs to us.
That's beautiful. You know, we haven't had a president who has said that in a long time. And the, you know, harnessed science, he's showing awareness of, I mean, obviously he's aware. But what it is that's so beautiful about us, why we're worth preserving, why we are worth fighting for, things like harnessing science. We invented science. He knows it. He said it right there. Let's see.
The future belongs to the brave, the strong, the proud, and the free. We are one people chasing one dream and one magnificent destiny. We all share the same heroes, the same home, the same heart, and we are all made by the same Almighty God.
Now, you see, when he says we all share the same heroes, the demon rats of the Socialist Party don't share the same heroes. So when he says we all share the same heroes, he's talking about patriots. He's not talking about demon rats. He's not talking about socialists. George Washington is not a hero to them. Thomas Jefferson, not a hero. James Madison, not a hero. John Adams is not a hero to them. Charles Lindbergh, not a hero. Henry Ford, not a hero. These are villains to them.
From the banks of the Chesapeake to the cliffs of California, from the humming shores of the Great Lakes to the sand dunes of the Carolinas, from the fields of the heartland to the Everglades of Florida, the spirit of American independence will never fade, never fail, but will reign forever and ever and ever.
Now, what did he just say right there when he intoned forever? That's a long time. And ever, that's even longer. And ever, longer still. What's he saying right there? He's saying that our future, that we, that does not include the demon rats, that the future that belongs to us is an eternal future. Not the next 20 years, not 50, not 100, not 500. Forever and ever and ever, permanent. We as a people, as a nation, as Americans, we will go on true to who we have always been, we always will be, forever. That's beautiful.
once more to every citizen throughout our land.
Oh, I just noticed something. In the crowd in front of Donald Trump, which is huge, in that crowd, many, many Make America Great Again red hats. But as a nice touch, right behind him in the bleachers that are right behind him there in front of the Lincoln Memorial is everybody's taken off their Make America Great Again hats. Why? Just to confound the demon rats that this is not a political rally. So we're going to take our hats off just for you, little ninnies. You're going to have, we don't want you to have a cardiac event. So we're going to take off our Make America Great Again hats just for you, just this one time. Just so you can't say in your stupid damn fake news show, see, it was a political rally. No, but in front of the president, there'll be a sea of our hats at our political rally. You got that one right.
Have a glorious Independence Day. Have a great 4th of July. I want to thank the Army Band, the National Park Service, the Interior Department, the incredible pilots overhead, and those who are making possible the amazing fireworks display later this evening. Now, as the band plays the battle hymn of the Republic, I invite the First Lady, Vice President, and Mrs. Pence, the service secretaries and military leaders to join me on stage for one more salute to America by the famous, incredible, talented Blue Angels. God bless you. God bless the military. And God bless America. Happy 4th of July.
Now what follows, of course, you can't see it on your speaker. But what's about to happen is, you know, of course, Melania comes up in stunning outfit with 10-inch heels and whatever they are. all that brass, the most beautiful uniforms. And by the way, in the VIP section, Tom Fitton's in the VIP section. I like that. Anyway, here come the Blue Angels. You can't see them, but just imagine them. We'll see you again tomorrow night here in the Trump Clubhouse. So long for now.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N at hotmail.com.